Lovely to be here with you in Shepparton. Vanolia, in normal circumstances, would have been here as well. And she loved her time as a member of the church here, so she says hello as well. So I will do a couple of plugging. You see my Fulham mask there. I shall have a sip of my drink, which, as Dave has pointed out, is in a Starbucks mug. And the subject this morning is loss, love, and restoration. And I'm going to refer to my journey in this as well. I'm going to preach out of Jeremiah. I'm going to refer to part of my journey as well. I had a 5-year very difficult journey following separation and divorce from my first marriage. So I'm going to refer to that. And I've written a book. So this is the other plug that Dave was talking about. Life Beyond Divorce, My Journey. So I'll be referring a little bit to this. And if you would like a copy, I have a website called lifebeyonddivorce.org.uk. And locally, you can get the book from the Canaan Bookshop. They put me up there as they're doing a special thing this month on local authors. And being an Ashford boy, being born just down the road from here, I qualify to be one of their local authors. So you can get it from there. So I'm going to refer to a passage this morning in Jeremiah chapters 38 and 39. So it'd be maybe good to read that later. I want to bring some application in relation to that, which would be applicable to anyone who has suffered loss. And I guess at some point in our life, all of us will have suffered some sort of loss, and how God can help, and also how he can help us through this difficult period that we're going through at the moment, this season. So Jeremiah, he's a prophet. He lived in the final days of the crumbling nation of Judah. We find in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, it said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And that was his call from God. And he was appropriately the last prophet that God sent to preach to the southern kingdom, which comprised of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. God had repeatedly warned Israel to stop their idolatrous behavior, but they wouldn't listen. And so he tore the 12 tribes apart, sending the 10 northern tribes into captivity at the hands of the Assyrians. And then we find God sent Jeremiah to Judah to bring the last warning before he cast them out of the land, decimating the nation and sending them into captivity in the pagan kingdom of Babylon. His book is primarily a message of judgment for idolatry, but it really is an expression of God's heart for each one of us, for God's love and his promise of restoration, which is very applicable to all our lives. I believe God's love is one of restoration, and we should see that time and time again in our own lives. In fact, very well-known verse in Jeremiah 29:10, this was the context of this promise, actually. "This is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come back to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And Jeremiah was a faithful man. He was a God-fearing man. And he was called to tell Judah that because of their unrepentant sin, their God had turned against them and was now preparing to remove them from the land to the hands of a pagan king. And so when we come to this passage in the beginning of chapter 28, we find this has been Jeremiah's consistent message before all the people, before in the first three verses here, before these four princes of Judah. This was his message. "Thus says the Lord, he who remains in this city shall die by the sword, by famine and by pestilence. But he who goes over to the Chaldeans shall live. His life shall be a prize to him, and he shall live." He said, this city shall surely be given into the hands of the Babylonian army, which shall take it. And as he had constantly done during his prophetic ministry, he was telling the people here, you need to surrender to the Babylonians. You will be spared. You will live if you do this, because this is God's will. You need to surrender to God's will, because there is a promise of restoration for God's people, which will come. Now, his message didn't change, and the conquest of Jerusalem was certain. And what Jeremiah brought was words of life to the people and a way that the people could live. Now, as a result of that, we see in these verses, these four princes then persuaded the weak king, King Zedekiah, to execute Jeremiah. And the king complied, and he allowed them. He basically washed his hands of it. It's very similar to what Pilate later did with Jesus. He just washes his hands of it, and he allows these four princes to lower Jeremiah into one of his son's cisterns. And it was empty, it was full of mud, there was no water in it, and they shut the roof, and maybe there was some sort of light coming in, but he wouldn't be able to see anything. He was in dark, in the mud, and he was a place of complete loss for Jeremiah, and a place where he would die. And that was where they left him. And he was open there to famine, he was open to disease, and that would follow. It was a place of complete loss. Hope was disappearing from view as soon as they shut the roof on the cistern, the entrance to it. And yet, then God sent someone to help him. And this shows God's great love in that moment and puts Jeremiah on this pathway of restoration. And you can read in the next verses, verses 4 to 7, that God sends a guy, a foreigner, called Ebed-Melech, an Ethiopian eunuch. He prompts him to go to the king, and he says to the king, basically, what has been done here? And this was full of love. It was full of real courage at this time. He said, what you've done here, what has been done to Jeremiah is evil. He will die in that pit. You need to do something about it. And as I said, the king was very weak, and but it was a good job that he was, because he then complied and did what was asked. And the way that he was saved there, there were 30 men sent, and in a very loving and compassionate way, Jeremiah was lifted out of the pit. And he remained in prison at that time, in the court of prison. But we see there that Ebed-Melech, a foreigner, was a godly man, had a compassionate heart, sent by God to rescue Jeremiah. And the rest of the story, if you read on the way it outplays, Jeremiah remained in custody. He then had an audience with the king, and he basically gives the king one last chance through God's word and said, there is still time for you, there is still time for the people to be saved here, but you have to surrender, and your life will be spared and the city will not be burned. The king ignored him, as you read on through that, and missed his opportunity. The city was under siege at the time, and when it came to the point where the city fell, it was absolutely disaster for the king, his family, and for the people. But God cared for him, and Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, ordered his release and showed him favor. He was released from prison. He was protected by the Babylonians, and Jeremiah was allowed to live amongst the people once more. And the favor was extended, and he was allowed to go and find Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, and that protection was extended to him as well. God kept his promise to him that he would be safe. Now, what can we learn from this passage when we have experienced loss, when we're going through difficulties? Here are some of the things that I learnt, and I believe we can take from this passage at times of loss. And It's documented in my book in greater detail, some of these things and a lot more. But the first thing is to stay close to God. Despite his time in the pit, the system, and times of rejection, depression, and discouragement during Jeremiah's life, during his ministry, he was a godly man who stayed very, very close to God. The circumstances did not change or impact his faithful relationship with God. As a result, this gave him much strength through all the difficulties that he encountered. And that was my experience during separation and divorce. And what I found, I put this right up at the top of my list. The one thing that was absolutely essential in my journey, which involved a lot of loss, was to keep God very, very close. Now, God is close to us. He never moves his position. Sometimes we can move away from God. My encouragement is during times of difficulty, during times of loss, to stay very, very close to God. Psalm 147:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." And Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Let's make sure we do that. Let's make sure above everything else we stay close to the Lord and don't drift away. The second thing we find in this passage that Jeremiah did was he stayed true to God's word. Because Jeremiah was so close in his positioning with God and his relationship with him, he was in a wonderful position to hear from God when God spoke to him. And this was absolutely essential for him as he stayed true and faithful to what God had called him to do and called him to say. Now, he was given a really, really unpopular and convicting message to Judah, which caused him actually much mental anguish, as well as rejection and as well as despising in the eyes of many. But he stayed true to his call and he stayed true to God's words. In fact, Jeremiah lost friends along the way because of this. And as a result, he received very, very little support from anyone. We've got one wonderful example here where he does get support and a traveling companion came and helped him. But across this whole thing, he had very, very little support. And the first part of that statement, actually, during a time of loss following my separation and divorce, was my experience during my journey. And I write in my book some of the reactions I had from friends, just to show folk who maybe are on a similar path, maybe what to expect. And people I would have thought at that time would have picked the phone up to give support. To this day, I've not heard from them. There are various reactions. And Jeremiah was in this situation where he lost friends because of the path he was walking. It's so important to realize whatever life brings us, loss or difficulty, others may let us down, but there is one who will never, ever let us down. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." God will never, ever let us down. He is the one that we can trust during these times. And he's the one who will stay true to us. So let me just encourage you, stay true to God. Whatever he calls you to do, whatever he calls you to say, we, like Jeremiah, are all called to something. He was called to be a prophet to the nations. We are all called to something. We have a plan and a purpose that God is calling us to. And this is a great time to seek that purpose if you're not sure about it and hear what God is saying to you. Stay true to God. Thirdly, recognize the importance of the prophetic. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. He recognized the importance of the ministry that God had given to him, despite the mental anguish it sometimes caused him to feel and to go through. Unfortunately for the king and for his household and the city, they failed to recognize this. They ignored it, and it was utter disaster. As you read on, you can see the disaster that came to the king's household. He came to a sorry end where the last thing he witnessed was his whole family being put to death, and then they put his eyes out, and that's how he remained for the remainder of his days. And the city was burnt. Absolute disaster. He failed to heed the importance of the prophetic. And I cannot stress strongly enough the value of God's prophetic word enough during times that we're going through that may be difficult, maybe during times of loss. Whether the Lord speaks directly to us, and he speaks in a whole host of different ways, as you know, or whether he speaks through someone who prophetically speaks into your life. In my book, I talk quite a lot about this, and there was one occasion, one example I give, where I had the same prophetic word on three different occasions, almost word for word, by three different people. The first one was a small group leader in the church I went to at the time. The second one was actually Ros Morgan from this church. And then the third one, I was in Bethel in Redding, California, and in a coffee queue, one of the students gave me the exact same word. And I've got it here somewhere, hang on. Basically what was said, they, just to paraphrase it all, they said that, I see you at the moment as a pilot of an aircraft, but you're grounded because you're lost in thick fog. But there's a time coming where you'll be able to lift off, you'll be able to take off, and you'll be able to reach up into the heights where it is all clear and it is all blue. And that spoke really into my situation, because it did seem like this big fog surrounding me during that time. And that is those three words, which were all the same. One, it was a little nudge. You know God's speaking when it comes from three different places. But that is outworked, and I'm now not in that fog anymore. So a place of loss went through God's love, through the prophetic word, to a place of restoration. And someone who's recently read the book, they shared a little bit with me. And this lady is going through a divorce at the moment, and she was working down in Australia, and at that time her husband had just announced to her the affair that he was having, and she was at her lowest point. And she had a day off, and she decided to go across Sydney Harbour to a beach the other side. And she noticed this guy who was quite close to her, talking, friendly guy, talking to different people. And she said, I did everything I can to put an unfriendly face. I didn't want to. I was at such a point, a low point, I didn't want to engage with anyone. So she said, I went to the back of the boat, up on the deck, to get out of the way. But this guy came over and he started engaging in conversation with me. And she said that the Lord, prior to this, had given her that verse out of Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, good and not evil, and about hope and hope for the future. And this guy started talking to her, and she got into a conversation with him. He was a guy from America who basically he was a mountaineer, and he went climbing different mountains around the world, and along the way would pray and witness to people and ask the Lord to point people out where he could bring the word of God to them. And when they got off the boat, he said to her, are you a Christian? And she said, I am. I don't go to church, but I do have faith. And found herself saying, do you want to sit down on the beach and let's chat together? And that's what they did. And he explained what he was doing there. He explained he'd been directed to get onto the boat and to talk to her. And then he brought her the exact same verse out of Jeremiah 29 and spoke into her life, and she just burst into tears. She was at the lowest point. He then connected her. He said, have you heard of Hillsong's Church? There's one in London. That would be good for you. She's connected there now. She's still going through this difficult period, but the Lord used this guy, sent him all those miles to be at that place and time on a boat there, and then spoke in and just spoke hope into her life. And that made a huge difference to her. She's now connected with the church. She's made many friends in the church there. Still going through all the difficulty, but she knows God is with her. She knows the value of the prophetic word that came at that time. For I know the plans I have you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And connected with the prophetic, we have to trust the Lord for his timing as well. And that's something that goes so closely along trusting God through his word and trusting him for his timing. And that was something I learnt during my 5-year journey of divorce and following divorce there. The prophet Habakkuk, during a difficult time, wrote this, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it will surely come. It will not delay. And can I just say, anyone who's really going through difficulties at the moment, maybe a time of loss, maybe a time where you're socially isolated because of what's going on, and you've had a promise from God, you've had a prophetic word, and you're wondering about the fulfillment of that, just trust him for that and trust him for the timing that it will be fulfilled. Okay. Fourth, recognize the importance of traveling companions. Jeremiah here, this guy, Ebed-Melech, during this time of loss, difficulty, God sent this foreigner to him. He sent this person that he did not know to basically save his life so that Jeremiah could get on with the next part of the purpose that God had for him. Just shows to me God's compassion, God's love, God's involvement with us, even when we think everything is lost. I don't know what he went through in that cistern, but he was placed a complete loss and dying as well. And yet hope comes. The cover of the cistern would have been taken off, light would have flooded in, and someone he doesn't know came there and helped save him in the purposes of God. Mike Riddell has written a wonderful book called Sacred Journey, and he says this in it. One of the keys to spiritual growth is to look on each new person we encounter along the way as someone who's been sent to us as a gift. They have some lessons to teach us, some quality to awaken in us, some blessings to bestow on us, some need for us to fulfill, or some question to ask of us. He continues, we cannot escape from the fact that we are the product of human community and that our lives are intimately bound up with others who travel a similar journey to our own. And that's what Jeremiah's experience was. That was what my experience was during the path I was forced to work. And I had three people in particular who were close traveling companions who spoke into my lives, who encouraged me, who showed me a lot of love. And it's absolutely invaluable at times of loss. And that's all part of God's love and all part of God's restoration as well. And now I know for many at this time in lockdown, you're on your own. You're completely on your own, maybe. For Jeremiah, there was much of the time that he was on his own. Friends and acquaintances were not there for him. Mike Riddell also says in his wonderful book, God, for those who have some awareness of the divine, is the ultimate traveling companion. Here we find one who is constantly with us in all the adventures and mistakes of our journey. So let me just say, if you find yourself completely on your own at this time, God is there with you. He is the ultimate traveling companion who can wrap his arms of love around you, who can minister his grace and his comfort to you, even if there's no one else near. God will bring traveling companions to you to help during times of loss and difficulty. But it's good to know the revelation here. He is the ultimate traveling companion who can bring love and encouragement to each one of us. And lastly, I'd say this. Last thing here is look up. Know where to put your trust and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. God is a supernatural God. And we see this outworked in so many ways across Jeremiah's life, across his ministry. And here, literally, he would have looked up as help came from above, as the light flooded in through this wonderful guy who came to help him on that occasion. And in my book, it does set out to help people who are going through divorce and separation and divorce, but there's a wider theme of loss and God's love and restoration, like we're talking about today. And one person who read it noted that what really struck her was the supernatural presence of God throughout the book, and God's presence there. And let me just relate one of those. And I don't know if I've shared this with Dave or not, actually, but I want to share it this morning because I believe maybe the time is right to share this. So New Year's Eve, going back to 2012, Vanolia lived in Shepparton, and I used to park my car around the corner, and then when I left in the evening, I'd leave that and walk back to the car. On one occasion, I came out, and when I got to the car, I looked up in the sky and I thought, oh, what's that? And it looked like lots of lights reflecting everywhere, and there were golds and greens and all sorts of colours. I thought, oh, that's very strange. What am I seeing here? So I went home and I actually Googled strange lights over Shepparton, and there was nothing. So anyway, went back the next night, or next time I saw Vanolia, left again, and the lights were there again when I got to the car. And I thought, look at that. And I can't fully describe what I was witnessing. So I rang Vanolia and I said, pop outside your flat and tell me what you see. And she came out and she recognized straight away what we were having the privilege of seeing was the glory of God above us. And that was it was an amazing thing. It was a supernatural occurrence. And for that whole month, every time I went around there, it appeared again. And that was, and on the last occasion, on the 25th of January 2013, it changed. And this is what happened. I wrote this. We were leaving Vanolia's flat to walk to my car when I saw a bright light in the cloud above. This appeared to be a lot closer than the ones we had seen previously. As soon as we started moving along the road towards the car, the light moved slowly ahead of us. We stopped a couple of times to stare up at it, not quite believing what we were witnessing. It stopped when we stopped and then moved when we moved. When we reached my car, the light disappeared. We stood there for a few moments in awe at what we had seen. I was reminded of Moses' words to God. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. We were both convinced that this was a visible sign of God's presence, and that he was showing us he would be with us, guiding us in the path we would be taking together. Also reminded me of Psalm 121, where he says, I lift my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And Revelation 21:11 says, having the glory of God, its radiance is like the most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Now for us, there was personal application and it was a wonderful experience. But there's wider application as well. Whatever you're facing, whatever life throws at you, the truth is that God is good all the time. He is there with you all the time. His presence is there with you, and he will encourage and strengthen you just at the right time. He will reveal his presence to you. It may not be through a display of his glory in the night sky, which is what we were privileged to witness, but he will come to you when you need him. Let me just encourage you to call on him and keep calling on him during these times. Allow yourself to be led and guided through his Holy Spirit. Let me just close in prayer, but let me just say a couple of things for the church. I believe the Lord will continue this year to challenge you in your faith. And as you respond, he's going to show you great favor. I don't know the extent of that, but I believe that is a word specifically here. I believe I was prompted to share about the glory of God over Shepparton because it was over Shepparton. And I believe this year you will be increasingly aware of God's presence with you. And as a result of that, and even the display of his glory, the kingdom of God is going to come in you and through you in greater and greater measure, despite this difficult season that we're in at the moment. And thirdly, we are set aside for something in the purpose of God, each one of us. Jeremiah, as I mentioned, was set aside as a prophet in his time, in his nation, and for the nations. And his impact is still having an impact today, but we're set aside for something. So, even though you may feel you're in that system at the moment, you may feel that you're in a pit at the moment, wherever you are on that journey, let me just encourage you to seek God. Stay close to God, stay true to his word, recognize and embrace the prophetic, trusting his timing on your journey. Recognize the importance of traveling companions who are sent to help you, and continue to look up. Continue to have faith in the one who is so close to us, that he will move in supernatural ways and continue to lead through the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that we are set apart for something. You have a plan and a purpose over each one of our lives. And I pray for anyone who's maybe not clear of that this morning, Lord, that as they seek you, Lord, you will show them the next step that you have for them on the journey. And Lord, I just pray that for the church here, Lord, that this would be a year, Lord, where many step out and continue to step out in faith. Thank you for the promise of favor that you're going to show the good people here, Lord, at Jubilee. And Lord, I thank you. Dave was talking about the importance of thanking you right at the beginning. Lord, I just thank you that you are a God that stays close to us. Lord, you stay true to your word. Lord, you speak into our lives prophetically. You speak in so many ways. We want to thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, at times of need, you're there with us. And Lord, sometimes you send good friends, traveling companions to be with us and to help lift us up out of the pit. So Lord, we are so, so grateful, Lord. Thank you that you're a faithful God. Just as you were faithful to Jeremiah, you're faithful in our lives. And Lord, would you help us to continue just to look up, Lord, to recognize your presence and to take that presence with us wherever you send us. Whatever you call us to do, whatever the plan and purpose you have for each one of us, Lord, let us be so aware of your presence with us, Lord. And thank you, within that, there is so much love and so much power. Lord, we pray these things in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.